And this talk is definitely a Guominshan talk. It comes out of the lab of the biochemistry and entomologists in the regulatory labs at Dairy Sciences. I'm here as the spokesman, but don't ask me too many difficult questions, John Glasser, if you're back in here. So some of the background, which I think we've already gone through in the first half of this session. Some general understandings of BT proteins in general, BT proteins in the soil. Certainly a general understanding that they are safe to the environment, decades of history of safe use as biopesticides, 12 years now of uses in BT crops. And then if quick literature search will show that there have been hundreds of studies on lab and field evaluations of the environmental safety of these proteins. Rapid degradation in soil has been shown repeatedly, but also the potential for strong binding to soil particles, either reversible or irreversible, has been documented. There's also potential for season-long exposure to the proteins, and potential accumulation after multiple seasons of BT crop plantings. So that's some of the background to why we want to start studying soil fate of BT proteins. And the US EPA has certainly encouraged us as well with requirements in the conditions of registrations for all these products that we monitor the persistence of the BT protein in soil under field conditions and test for accumulation in soil after 3 years of continuous cropping. And that poses some challenges, as we heard from Kelsey in the last talk. Firstly, in terms of analytical tools, how do we actually measure the quantity of protein in these matrices? And the two approaches that have been taken, one is insect bioassay. It's relevant to the biological activity. It involves in vivo soil extraction, but it does have difficulties in terms of being time-consuming, not completely quantitative, and sensitive to only bioactivity. Then the alternative to that is the immunoassays, which are more sensitive, more selective, certainly more rapid and quantitative, but they do have issues around extractability of the protein from soil, which is really the lead-in to this talk. How do we develop a quantitative analytical method to detect BT proteins? So yes, we have the ELISA ability, but as we've seen, extracting these proteins from soil in the first place has proven to be pretty difficult. So some examples of the low protein extractability: Cry1AC recovery of 5 to 32%, Cry1AB or Cry1AC of 27%. Cry1F recovery of 39%, and Cry34 essentially zero recovery, and Cry35AB1 20% recovery. So if we want to use immunoassays to quantify the protein in soil, we need to improve the extraction method before we go any further. So then there's an interesting question: okay, if we can do it with insect bioassay, how come the insects can extract it, the protein from the soil, whereas we can't? So there's numerous reports of insecticidally active protein bound to soil. So maybe if we look at the insects, that points us towards what a good extraction system might be. So we started work with tobacco budworm to try and use the insects themselves as the extraction medium. So you take 50 fifth instar tobacco budworm larvae and homogenize them in PBS, add in buffer, and then soil, spiking that soil in with the Cry1F protein, going through the extraction with that the tobacco budworm larva juice, and then analyze through just a standard commercial Cry1F ELISA kit. This is what we saw the first time around. So when you do the extraction just in the buffer, you get 39% recovery. When you do it with this insect fluid from tobacco budworm, increase that to 52%. So it looks like we're heading in the right directions, certainly not got far enough at this point. So what else can we do? Well, trawling through the literature, we discovered that marine worms have been investigated for their ability to extract chemicals from the environment. So several species have been examined in the literature, which pointed us towards, well, maybe these may be a good source of extraction media that we could use. So the first step was to look at one of those, Arenicola. So here in this slide, we see that we are able to go from the 52% using tobacco budworm up to 85% recovery using this marine worm. So now we're at the kind of levels that you need to be able to reliably quantify your BT protein in the soil. Rather than using a probably fairly variable biological material, the next step was to try to synthesize a more uniform version of that. So by examining the contents or the constituents of that the worm gut fluid, Guomin and his group were able to develop synthetic gut fluid 1 with the composition that you can see on the slide here. So then you look at comparing that synthetic fluid with either the initial tobacco budworm fluid or the marine worm gut fluid. And we're able to repeat the results from the worm gut study pretty nicely now, up to 89% recovery. Okay, so that's using one soil, one protein. Is this new gut fluid or synthetic gut fluid really going to be a reliable method? So we looked at 6 different soils with different properties. And we looked at using Cry1AC, Cry1AB, and the Cry1F that we developed it with. And just summarizing the results from that study across the 6 soil types and 3 Cry1 proteins, we were able to show pretty consistent recovery, certainly in excess of 70% across the board, one or two little exceptions. And these are the numbers up to 100% that Kelsey was mentioning in the previous talk, where we are able to get very high levels of recovery under most circumstances. The next question that occurred to us was, well, if we're able to recover these proteins at somewhat different levels in different soils, does that reflect the biological activity of the proteins in those different soils? So looking at 3 of them here, the inset graph describes extractability of the proteins. So the green bar here was the lowest extractability, and the dark green bar was the highest extractability. And you compared that with the biological activity on the line graph, and they actually lined up pretty nicely, that the more extractable protein-soil combinations were also the more biologically active. So it also indicated that what we were extracting was the biologically relevant components of the protein, and what we were not extracting was probably not biologically active. Okay, so we move on now to the Cry3435 proteins. Having validated this system on the Cry1s about Diagroscience's other proteins, Cry35, this looked pretty good again. The standard buffer extraction of 20% recovery using this synthetic gut fluid, we got up to 75% recovery, which was extremely encouraging. Cry34, on the other hand, notice the difference on the y-axis. We are still only around 3% recovery. So unfortunately, the system broke down when given this challenge. But not to be defeated, Guomin went on and said, okay, well, if I use marine worm guts the first time around, I can try them again. So screens several different species here to see if any of them gave better recovery of Cry34AB1 from soils. And then honed in on these 2 species that were giving significantly better recovery than either the buffer or the range of other species that he'd looked at. So using those 2, he broke down or synthesized the fluid again using standard ingredients. The recipe is described here. and then looked at was this second synthetic gut fluid any better than the first one, or any better than the marine worm itself at extracting the protein, and yes, it moved up from 3.2 to 48.2 and now up to 72% recovery. So now again, we're back in the range where we can get useful soil extraction data, useful soil concentrations of the protein. Looked at this across different soil types as well. So silt loam was the initial one. Sandy loam gave even greater extraction efficiency. The loam soil, however, was somewhat lower, and so still some room for improvement here. So summarizing the work on the developing extraction systems, worm gut fluids can effectively extract BT proteins from soil samples, and then synthetic fluid, synthetic worm gut samples or fluids were able to effectively extract Cry1 and Cry35 proteins from the soil. And then the second version of this was able to effectively extract Cry34 protein from the soil. And we've shown, at least for Cry1F, that the protein extractability correlates nicely with the biological activity. The whole purpose of doing this then was to see if we can measure soil accumulation of the BT proteins as per the requirements set given to us by the EPA. So just to summarize two of the studies that we've done here, one on the Cry1F expressing Herculex 1 BT corn. We took it to three different locations with diverse soil types, planted continuously essentially for 3 years in the same location, then you come back and you look at the soil, take soil samples and look at to see whether you're able to detect the protein in those soil samples. And then for wide strike, the Cry1F, Cry1AC expressing BT cotton, same setup, three diverse locations, and then 3 years of continuous cropping. For the analytical methods, we used the ELISA. These were Cry1 proteins, so we used the first synthetic gut fluid. Standard commercial ELISA kits we used with a sensitivity of 4.5 nanograms per gram. We also did bioassay in parallel with that, feeding insects with the soil mixed into their diet, and measured both growth and mortality. And the results of these studies were, for the corn, no Cry1F protein was detected in the soils by either ELISA or by bioassay. And in the cotton, similarly, no Cry1F and no Cry1AC was detected in the soils by either ELISA or bioassay. So finally, to sum up, synthetic fluids that mimic worm gut fluid were developed, provide an effective tool for BT protein extraction. ELISA, coupled with those fluids as the extraction system, provide a rapid and effective analytical method for quantitative monitoring of BT proteins in soil. And then finally, the whole purpose of doing this, no protein residue was detected by either ELISA or bioassay in soils after 3 years of cropping. And bringing that back to the overall risk assessment, this did confirm the lab predictions from the risk assessment, as well as previous field studies, that these Cry1 proteins do not accumulate in biological soils. And with that, I'll finish, and I can attempt to take questions. But really, if you have a difficult question, John Glasser, if you're in the room, send it to Guomin or one of his co-authors listed here. Thanks very much.
We do have plenty of time for questions.
I'm not sure on the direct answer to that. My guess is that it's going to be fairly specific to the protein. Not enough of a biochemist to understand the differences between them. Yeah, in fact, that study is just wrapping up as we speak. It's a 3-year post-commercial study, so we're just finishing that up now. Again, no presence was detected of either 34 or 35 in those soils. Not as far as I'm aware. So it's a good suggestion there.
Thank you.
Thanks.